Galatians chapter 5, you'll turn with me. I believe in God to bless us, minister to us. I am on page 1026. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ hath made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch, minister to us. Lord, with the power of your divine grace, we are believing you, God, to reach down with your anointing and lift us up. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right now and say, hey, you're beautiful. And I am glad to see you in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Now, church, anytime we're doing anything, I'm subject to let something slip. Do continue to pray for Cynthia Lucas. She is home doing better, but let's don't leave her out either when we're praying. Amen. That God will bless her, not only in recuperating from her knee, but God will bless her missions work in Paraguay. Amen. Praise God. I want to talk to you this morning about the liberty in Christ. Amen. Now, I know that next week's supposed to be the 4th of July, and we're going to celebrate the Independence Day, and everybody's gonna get excited and load up on barbecue and run their blood pressure up. There'll be fireworks and all this kind of stuff, and you know, I don't know how they do it in the city. In the country, it's ugly, it's loud. You don't sleep on the 4th of July, New Year's out in Buell because there's too many people blowing stuff up. I got left out one time down on fireworks, so I just loaded my shotgun, walked out in the yard, and shot it. I mean, I just wanted to get involved, you know. But can't do that here. I figure if I'd done it here, I'd probably have somebody come and help me unload it. Glory. Amen. But you know, church, the reality is we're going to celebrate Independence Day, and we're going to talk about liberty. And, you know, we believe in liberty. We believe in the liberties we have. Some of us take liberties when we shouldn't. Hello? You know, we live in a country that's founded on the principles of godliness. And we live in a country where the godless principles we live by are being taken away from us every day. And somehow we seem to forget, and it's being not taught to our students, that everything about America was created through the church, by the church, and with the church. And yet they turn around and say there's a separation of church and state. And I'll give any of y'all $100 if you can find the Constitution and show me where that's in there. And we're being taught that there's a separation of church and state. It ain't in the Constitution of the United States of America. What I hear is a guy like George Washington, when he was elected the first president, who is considered the father of this country, say you cannot have moral freedom without the liberty of knowing Jesus Christ and living by his morals. And so therefore, if we don't have the morals of God, we're not going to have liberty and freedom. And that's what he basically said. I mean, let's face it, 55 people signed the Declaration of Independence, and 55 of the 57 that signed it were Christians. They cited 27 biblical reasons why we needed to be separated from Britain. They were not separating because of this, that, and the other. They named 27 principles that came out of the Bible and said, this is what we're standing on, and yet you're being told something else by everybody else. It's time we made somebody start reading the truth. Hello? Amen. You know, I went to Jamestown last year. We were there, and it was right after the 400th anniversary celebration. A week or so after that, we were still there, and they were still doing it. And we actually went to the old Jamestown place, not just the rebuilt fort, but the actual site. Do you know the first thing they built when they landed in Jamestown that was a permanent structure? The church. I mean, man, they went to church every day. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I'll be honest with you. I like church the way we got it. It's kind of optional. You come because you love God, not because you got to. In Jamestown, I asked the guy. I said, man, as a historian, I said, how important was church? He said, well, we had church every morning at 7 o'clock. I said, every morning at 7? He said, yeah. I said, well, that's great. I said, what if you slept in? He said, you didn't eat. Because if you didn't go to church, you didn't eat that day. I'm like, oh, really? I said, what happened if you missed church 2 or 3 days in a row? He said, you were put in the stocks and whipped. I said, well, what happened if you stayed gone longer than that? He said, there were two people went out. They were not captured by Indians. They just tried to leave, and they didn't get out and found their way back to Jamestown. They were hung when they were brought back into the place because they didn't want to take a chance of the devil getting involved in the place. And I'm thinking, I said, boy, we'd have some dead hungry folks in our churches. Glory. Amen. Some of them be beat. Amen. But you know, church, I believe you ought to love God because you've been liberated by his power. Could you say amen? And I think we in America ought to get back to what we're formulated from, and that is the Word of God. They used to teach it in our schools. Amen. I don't know if y'all understand this or not, but the head of one of our major universities, you could not hold leadership unless you were an ordained minister in the leading universities of America for years. And we did not elect anyone as President of the United States who was not a Baptist until 1960. 62, when it was Kennedy was elected, 60, I believe it was. He was the first non-Baptist to ever be elected President of the United States of America. Amen. Hello? We've moved away from that now. Glory. Hello? You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I think we need to get back to that place where we realize there is real liberty. Those men understood what liberty was. It wasn't just a piece of paper that you studied. It wasn't something you talked about. It was a lifestyle that said, I'm going to be free and I'm going to be liberated. And I want to tell you something. We in the church world need to understand what real liberty is. Amen. We've got to understand how things go and how things work and let that happen again. What is real liberty? The opposite of servitude or bondage. Hence, applicable to slaves set free from oppression. Amen. Morally, the power that enslaves us is sin. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We're going to have real liberty in Christ. We've got to understand. We've got to be liberated from the very thing that's got us in bondage. Amen. All have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All have sinned in their life. I don't know if you understand it or not. The little baby's a lie to you. Come on, church, nod your head. That little youngin laying right there has told some fibs since he been born. Mama's down there, what are you talking about, my baby? Because I've had babies. They'll lay there and cry like they're dying. You pick them up. Because they want some attention. And they don't know how to say it, so they just do something. But that ain't being honest about it. They really wasn't nothing wrong with them. They just want you to come grab them. Hello? It's an innate nature in us to do wrong. And we need to be liberated from that. John 8:34, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Real liberty is when you get set free from those kind of things and from that bondage. Could you say amen? Consists more of an external freedom, more than the power of choice, but is deliverance from the darkening of the mind, the tyranny of the sinful lust, and the enthrallment of will induced by the immoral and corrupt state of our life. What it amounts to is when God comes in, sin goes out, because he can't dwell in the same place with sin. Could you say amen? Come on, church. Smile at me. You say, preacher, it's a hard sermon. No, it's not. It's the truth. And it's time we begin to realize when God comes in, sin goes out, because this was the purpose of man. God. Jesus came to this world with one purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. And my Bible tells me that when God gets in your life, he will liberate you. He will set you free from the bondage of this world. I hear the word of God tell me, I have not received the spirit of bondage, but the spirit of adoption, where now I cry, my Father, which art in heaven, because I have been liberated and set free. I am now a member of the family of God, and I have a Father in heaven who has watched over me and cared for me. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Liberty is possible only in renewed condition of the soul and cannot exist apart from godliness. Only in the words of the New Testament can we find real meaning of liberty. Amen. In the Old Testament, they found some liberty. A few weeks ago, a nephew of mine wrote me an email and he said, I need some help. I'm teaching a Sunday school class and they asked me a question. What did they do before the cross to get free? I had to go with, do a little research. I had the idea, but I want to give you something he could really lay out. I started doing research about all the doves and the bullocks and the lambs that were slain. Do you realize on the Day of Atonement, they would be anywhere from 200 to 300,000 lambs slain for the atoning death of the blood to be shed for those people? There'd be so much blood run off the Mount of Moriah that it would actually fill up the Kidron Valley. Amen. And that blood's running down across that valley and running into that brook, the Kidron Brook that's running through that valley, and it would literally turn red for almost 2 days. From the blood that was shed, so those people could get remission of their sins just for that time period. Amen. But they were still enslaved to the cause of the sin in their life. They were still enslaved to what was going on in their life. But when Jesus came along, amen, and he gave his life at the cross of Calvary, all of a sudden there was a mandate from God that by those stripes we are made free. And in his death, the atoning blood of Calvary has set me free and liberated me from the things of this world. And in Christ, I stand free today. Could you say amen?
Hallelujah. And let me tell you something, friend, when you get liberated just right, you ain't going back to bondage. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen, first of all, I want to talk to you about liberty from fear. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? We need to be liberated from this. We live in a world where people are dominated by fear. Could you say amen? We live in fear and apprehension, worry. But church, we got to get to that place where fear is not a part of our life anymore. Liberated from fear, 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Hello? Who are you talking about, preacher? When you really fall in love with God, there is nothing to fear anymore, because I understand that no matter what's going to happen, I got it made. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Amen. Guy asked me one day, said, what are you going to do if you die? I said, I'm going to heaven. Hello? He looked at me sort of funny. He said, you ain't afraid to die? I said, I ain't ready to do it, and I'm not in a hurry to do it, but I'm not worried about it if it happens. Come on, church. Don't look at me, some of y'all are like, preacher, you're crazy. Look, I hope one day to have some grandkids, because I love youngins and I love spoiling them. Don't believe me, leave yours around me long enough and I'll make them rotten. Let you have them back. Glory. Somebody told me one day, my daughter's in high school, and one of the little girls with us said, your daughter's spoiled. I said, I did it. You want to talk about something else? She said, my mom and daddy won't spoil me. I said, yeah. But I spoiled my daughter. You'd been my daughter, I'd spoiled you. I said, well, a preacher, that's bad. But I can tell you where my kids are right now. Now, my son's working, that's why he's not here. But my daughter's at church. She's leading the singing at Buell this morning at homecoming. Amen. But I'll be honest with you, church, I don't have to question when church comes, whether they're here or somewhere else. They're going to be in church when time comes to go to church, because maybe they're a little bit spoiled, but they understand God is real and God is right, and they've been raised to know the right and wrong of this world. Could you say amen? Come on, church. I caught a lot of flack from people in my church because I was a hard father, because I made my kids go to church. They didn't have an option. One lady told me, said, well, they'll hate church the rest of their life. I said, at least they'll go. Come on, church. Smile at me. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. We've got people today who live in bondage to fear simply because they don't understand that God is the only way, the only truth, the only life, the only one that can give you a peace that pass all understanding, the only one who, what was it, Habakkuk said, you can make my feet like hinds feet. Amen. What's that talking about? That's an animal that walks on the side of a mountain and has the ability to draw up the side of that mountain. He said, you can make me have the ability to crawl up out of the very valley of the shadow of death and get back on a mountaintop and give me joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And my Lord, church, we need to get to that place where we don't have to take Prozac anymore. We're not having to get all kind of counseling because we hung up into fear and anxieties. But we've got a God that gets us up in the morning with a joyous song in our heart. Let's just go to bed tonight with a peace in our mind, not worried about what's going to happen, because we know if I die in the night, I'm coming out in him, because I have been liberated through the power and the grace and the glory of Almighty God. Hallelujah. I quote this scripture a lot. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God give me the spirit of joy, peace, power. And let me give you a little quick. That word sound mind means a mind that's disciplined. My mind ain't running off in all kind of areas, going places it shouldn't go, because I keep it focused on one thing, and that is God and what God wants me to have in this world. Come on, church. Amen. I'm going to move on. Some of you are going, oh, preacher, done got off yonder. Listen, if we keep our mind stayed on him, he will keep your mind in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Oh, some of us got worries because we've been to. Listen, church, I went to Romania with a state overseer who was afraid of Dracula. I mean, we were headed off the Carpathian Mountains into the valley in Transylvania. He wanted to stop and buy garlic put around his neck. I'm riding in a 9-passenger van with 7 people in luggage. We ain't got room to move. And he won't put garlic around his neck. I said, 2 things going to happen. 1, you're going to stink too bad. 2, I'm going to want spaghetti. Glory. Hello? I started out at the motel one night, going to walk across the road, get something to drink, and he stopped me. I said, what's your problem? He said, it's a full moon.
I said, so? You know where you are? I said, I'm standing in the motel with an idiot. He looked at me and he says, I'm not going with you. I said, I didn't want you to, because I'd have to buy you a drink if you went with me. Glory. I went across the road, got a drink, come back, and y'all got to know me. I was looking all over the place around there because it was a little fast food place over there. I'd look and see if somebody had dropped a pack of ketchup. And if I'd have found it, I'd have squirted it on my neck, walked back, and I'd have had some fun with that dude. The next day, we were going somewhere else, and we went to a 14th century village. That church, I was amazed that there were people still living in a village that was built in the 14th century. I have a picture somewhere, I have to find it, but in a 14th century village, they had an ATM. They seen it in the wall lately, but it was in, I took a picture of it. I mean, I'm in a 14th century village, and there's an ATM in case you want to buy something. Now, this was the village that a guy named Vladimir Tepesh was raised in. Those of you who know who that is, he was later called Vlad the Impaler. We know him as Count Dracula. And that guy got mad because we went up there. Why do you go to the house of the devil? He wouldn't get out of the van. I spent the whole time I was there looking at architecture, but I was also looking for a bat. I kept throwing things up in the corner of the buildings, and Brother Tim Hill was with me. He said, what are you doing? I said, if I find a bat, I'm going to get him out of that van. Somebody said, well, preacher, why do you want to go there? I went to look at the architecture. I didn't go there because of that. And because I already knew the history of this guy. He was not a vampire. He was a leader. People loved him. He was very bloody and he was mean, but the people loved him. There was very little crime while he worked over Transylvania. But the truth of the matter is, they come up with the idea of a vampire and werewolves because folks come from all over the world, spend millions of dollars at a place, and we get nobody to come there no other way. Hello? And so they build it up. They sell wooden crosses and necklaces with garlic, and they play the whole game for you. And people go there living in fear. Church, I'd hate to know my life was dominated with fear, that every time I started to do something, I was just totally covered up. Can I tell you, if you get liberated in God, fear does not have to be a part of your life. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. Point two, we can be liberated from other people. Hello? You ever notice, folks, y'all got to understand, as an evangelist, I used to have to make people happy. I remember I used to wear my hair curly in the back. Now, I didn't do a whole lot to make it that way. I just didn't pull it straight. My hair used to be real curly. Now it's wavy. Bye. But I'd actually wear it and let it kink up in the back rather than fix it. And if y'all want to get a good idea, some of y'all noticed, I think it was a week or so ago, my daughter came in with her hair curly, and people wonder what she done. She didn't do nothing. Her hair's like that. She got it from Dad. And my hair used to be like that. And I'd wear it, and it was kind of long, and it would kink up. And this guy walked up, and he said, you get your hair cut and fix it like a man, I'll let you come preach for me. Well, I'd cut my hair 1 week, and I'd let it grow out the next. Then I'd cut it another place. If I was down below Montgomery, I'd keep it real short because they holding this down there, buddy. And you couldn't preach for them if your hair touched your ear. Hello? And my precious wife, I wouldn't let her wear pants 1 week, and then she could wear them the next week. And, you know, she couldn't wear this, and she couldn't wear that, and she definitely couldn't cut her hair like it is now. I said, one guy booking me for revival camp meeting, and she'd locked herself out of the motel room, and she'd had a permanent put in her hair, and it was real tight. And she put them, y'all remember them old big rollers they call hot rollers? She'd put them back in and blow it back out, and her hair'd be long. But when she locked herself out the motel, she was before she put the rollers in her hair. And she come walking up, looked like a skint squirrel that had been watered in the rain. And that guy looked over me and he said, you forget that revival. Your wife cut her hair like that. And boy, I got on to her. You can't do that. You know, church, one day I thank God that I prayed through. Somebody said, preacher, you can't give me scripture for that. Listen to what happened in the book of Acts chapter 12, verse 11. And Peter was come to himself, and he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has set his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Hello?
Peter's been in prison. He got delivered. He said, now God took me out of the hand of Herod, but he also delivered me from having to make everybody else happy. From now on, I'm just going to be Peter, and I'm going to do whatever God wants, and I don't care if the Jews like it. I don't care if my buddies like it. I don't care what they like. I'm going to be a Christian. I got news for you, church. I don't care if everybody just likes me like I am. I'm me, and as long as me and God's on the same page and I'm doing what I need to do, I'm happy. Amen. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to sell out to him. Come on, church. Smile at me. You say, what are you talking? I got delivered from everybody else's expectations, and I'm going to live by the word of God, but I ain't going to live up to somebody else's expectations. I don't have to meet their criteria. Amen. No matter how hard they try, their clothes are like filthy rags just like mine. The only hope I got to heaven is that I'm going to be like him, and as long as I'm like him, I don't have to match anybody else. Could you say amen to that, church? When we're liberated from the expectations of other people. Hallelujah. Whew. Glory.
That didn't take long, did it?
Liberated. But I want to get this last one, and I'm not sure this will be the end of this thing. It may expand out into another week.
But these are some things I was thinking about as I was putting this sermon together. Liberated now, number three, from sin.
I painted a very bleak picture a while ago, didn't I? Everybody's got sin in their life. That's what the Bible said. We're all born into sin. We were conceived in sin.
Sin dominates our life until Jesus Christ comes in. And when Jesus comes in, the blood of Calvary is applied, the domination stops. Hello? Amen. Come on, church, smile at me. You say, what are you getting at? See, sin is kind of like a poison that gets in the system. It flows around. You know, one writer wrote years ago, he said, sin is like the blood. It pervades to the very uttermost part of the body, but sin goes farther than that. It goes past your will. There are some things you're born with an inclination to do. You ain't going to quit because you decide you ain't going to do them no more. Come on, church. Not yet. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, you can make all them New Year's resolutions you want to. There are some things in your life you ain't going to quit because you decide you ain't going to do them no more. There are some things you can't change just because you decide you ain't going to do it that way no more. And I took church, I can dye my hair purple. I'm still going to be with a low amount of hair and it white. You can dress up any way you want to and act like everything's fine, but if there's not an inner work in you, it doesn't matter what the outside looks like. Come on, church. Amen. You say, what are you getting at, preacher? There are some things, some thoughts, some carnality, some inclinations in my life I don't get rid of because I get up in the morning and say, well, I'm going to live right. I'm not going to do that because the nature in me will always go back to who I am. Come on, church. I remember one time a professor told us about the frog swimming around in the edge of the river, and there was a scorpion on the bank wanting to go to the other side. He kept trying to talk the frog into taking the other side of the river. The frog said, I can't do it. Scorpion said, come on, man, let me ride you back and get to the other side. I can't get over that without you. Frog finally relented and said, oh, okay. And they're swimming across the river, and the frog said, man, you know, I wish we could have gotten to be friends a long time ago. I've always been afraid you'd kill me. And he said, well, man, you just stung me. I'm going to die. He said, I know, man, it's just my nature. I couldn't stand it. Glory. Of course, if you understand that, when the frog went over, the scorpion died too. But he couldn't keep his nature from taking place, no matter what it meant. And that's why we have people who can't control themselves, is because they try to do it in their own self. They try to control their lust and their things for this world, and you cannot do it. But if you get liberated in God, that's what Paul was talking about. Stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. And if Christ sets you free, he, man, whom the Lord hath made free, he is free indeed. He is not brought into bondage, but he is liberated. Come on, church. Ah, preacher, I sin every day. Then pray through. I heard a preacher preach one time. He said, I went down to that mall, and them college students was going by and said, I was sinning with the left eye, and then I sinned with the right eye. He said, back after church, he said, what'd you think about that? I said, you need to go home and pluck out both eyes, what the Bible said. Doesn't it say if your right eye offend, you pluck it out? If you can't control your eyes, you better all be blind. That way you can at least live right. Hello? Well, y'all got quiet all of a sudden. And my God, the preacher wants me blind. No, I just want you to live right. You can't turn a blind eye and still see. Hello? Come on, church. Goofy people sitting there watching things on TV you ain't supposed to talk. Well, I'm an adult. I'm old enough to change the channel. don't know why y'all suddenly got quiet. Y'all was acting real happy just a minute ago. Did I need to stay? I might probably just need to forget the rest of this sermon and get on the TV and the internet and let's talk. The point is, if God makes you free, you lose the taste for those kind of things. You lose the desire to go after those things, and you begin to go after God. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, David's praying a prayer. This is an awesome prayer. Here's a guy who forgot who God was. He was a man after God's own heart, but instead of being where he's supposed to be, doing what he's supposed to do, he was laying home taking it easy when he's supposed to be out fighting. And he's back at the house taking it easy and notices his neighbor's wife out taking a bath, and he just sits there and watches her take a bath, and he just can't stand himself. And then he has an affair with a woman. Then he kills her husband so he can marry her. And then all of a sudden his whole life falls apart. And listen to the prayer he prayed. He said, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from the presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit, and then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Amen. You know what he said? He said, "God, I messed up, but if you'll give me back my joy and you'll put me back where I need to be, then I'm going to tell others how they can keep from doing what I did." Church, that's what it's all about. Every one of us has got skeletons in a closet we don't want nobody rattling the bones of, but thank God we got out the closet and we got into a Jesus Christ to set us free, and because of that I can tell others there is a way. There is a truth, there is a life where you can live in liberty and in peace and in joy in Jesus. Could you say amen? Man, that's an old song we used to sing in the hymnal, "My Sins Are Gone." Oh, they're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgiveness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. I don't know about y'all, but I thank God this morning I don't have to stand before God with what I did in the past. I don't have to stand before God and answer for those things, because they're under the blood and they've been walked out by God. They've been justified by faith and moved on by the grace of God. Could you say amen? Whew. My sins are gone. They're not coming back. They've been cast as far as the east is from the west. That's important, because if you go north, you pass the North Pole, you're going south. You go south, past South Pole, you're going north. So your sins could find their way back home. But if you go west, you're never going to come to a place where you turn around. You just keep going west. If you go east, you're going to just keep going east. What are you talking about? They're lines of infinity, meaning once my sins are under the blood, they ain't coming back. They're gone, and they're not. Come on, church. Some of y'all ain't caught that yet. Hallelujah. Amen. I like that song. They're underneath the blood, but they're also in the depth of the sea. You know, there's a place out there they can't even get unmanned submarines to. There's a place in the ocean, every time I try to send an unmanned sub, it just crushes because so much weight gets on it. And they can't get down there. You know, my Bible said my sins are down there. They under the blood got cast down there. They ain't coming back. Ain't no man in the world ever going to get down there to get them out. Come on, church, smile. Some of y'all say, "Well, preacher, that's a song." No, it's not. It's scripture. I remember making that statement at a church one night, got a free steak out of it. Fella caught me at the back door. He said, "Yep, you said something tonight. It's in a song, but it ain't in the Word of God." I said, "Oh, yeah, it is." He said, "If it's in the Word of God, I'll buy you the biggest steak they got at the steakhouse in Jasper." I looked at him sort of funny. I said, "Like my medium, baked potato salad with ranch dressing, I'll be up in 30 minutes. He said, "Well, you ain't gave me the scripture." I said, "Micah chapter 7, 19th verse. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon me. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea." He looked at me sort of funny. He said, "I see it the place, preacher. Glory. I want to tell you something, friend. My sins are there, and they're not coming back. I don't know about y'all, but when I get up in the morning and realize where I was and where God's brought me to, I've got the liberty, because I come out of that bed knowing I am not who I used to be, and I'm not going back, but I've been liberated by the power of God, and in that liberty, I look toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and there's joy in the morning because I know my sins are gone." Could you say amen? Stand with me all over the house. Today we've got to ask ourselves, do I have real liberty? You say, "Preacher, you mean you don't cry about things anymore?" Sure do. I still have problems, but I understand in the end it's all going to work out. For whatever, God's going to make it happen, because he's in charge. And he's going to make it all come around sooner or later. Either that, the word of God lies, because it all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. All I got to do is say, God, you in charge. I don't have to decide tomorrow. God's going to help me make that decision. Come on, church. I don't know if y'all understand this or not, but the decisions I've ever made got myself in trouble because I didn't pray about it. I just did it. And then I went back, oh, God, help me. And he was like, you didn't ask me before. That's one thing I appreciate my dad for. Whenever I'd get into trouble, I'd call him. He'd say, did I help you get there? And I'd say, no. He said, well, I ain't going to help you get out either. You know, next time, call me before you get to this place, and I might can keep you from getting there. Hello? God basically works the same way. He says sometimes in his compassion, even in our ignorance, he'll pick us up, set us back on the mountain, give us joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And all we've got to do is understand God has given us liberty. More liberty than you'll ever get from the Constitution of the United States. More liberty than you'll ever get from the Declaration of Independence. He'll give you liberty man can't take away from you. I met a man from Romania. He built a church in Romania. He was 80-something years old. 60 of those years, he'd been in prison. Because every time they'd let him out, he'd start preaching, they'd throw him in prison. And they passed the Bible around by pages. And he memorized it by pages. So he'd start to tell you something where we'd sit there thinking our mind a bit. He'd sit there and start quoting scripture, and he'd run through 10 or 12 and say, now this is the one I want you to hear. And just listening to him talk, I realized that even in prison, he was free. And I thought, God, I want to be that man. That even if they lock me up, I'm free. Even if they stick me in a hole in the ground like Paul, I can say, hey, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Because I'm free in Christ. And I'm liberated in his power. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning, God, for your word. Master, you said it's not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, I believe you reach down and touch this house. Lord, let the power of your divine grace just begin to move every heart, every life, every soul. Father, I believe you this morning to touch everyone in this building. If there's one here bound by things in their life who needs liberty like you can give, I believe you today, God. Pour out your spirit on your people. Touch us with your anointing. Father God, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Lord, have your way. Right now, while every head's bowed, every eye's closed, if you're here, you're not where you need to be with God. Maybe there's some things in your life you need to turn over to God. Understand, God loves you. He died for you. He wants to put his blood in your life to liberate you from bondage. And he said, if you see it, you got an advocate with a father. We come back, hit an altar, say, God, I'm sorry. And that same God that forgave the first time will forgive you again, because he loves you and he wants you free. Right now, the Spirit of God's moving. If you're here, you want to pray, this altar's open to you. Come on, step out. Let him touch you today. Let him set you free today. Maybe you're bound by fear, anxiety. You say, preacher, I won't be liberated today. I want you to step out here in the front of this building. I believe God wants people set free from the things of this world today. Come on. You don't have to live in fear and anxiety anymore. Come on. Let him touch you. Let him minister to you. Let him have his way in your life. Church, some of y'all come stand around our brothers today and let's pray with them. Let's believe God to touch them. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, would you raise your hands this way? And let's believe God to touch our brothers as we pray for them, that God's going to give them deliverance. God's going to free them from something in their life they won't be liberated from. I got a God's able to do it, church, who can break bondage and addiction and set us free. Church, would you just reach over, take the hand of somebody next to you and begin to pray with them right now? Let's believe God to touch, to move, to minister to you and to your neighbor tonight. This morning, let's believe God to minister to them, to set them free, as only God can do. Hallelujah. Father God, we believe you today. Every need to be met in this house, spiritually, physically, financially, God, let your glory just come down and touch. Father, we give you praise, honor, and glory for everything we receive from you. Master, in Jesus' precious name, let your spirit move, God, as we give you honor for that we receive from you. In Jesus' name. Church, would you just give the Lord a hand clap of praise?